Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day Sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Welcome back to Macabre, a dark history podcast, a macabre feature on Jack the Ripper, episode 3, Unmasking a Killer. Together we will journey into the heart of Victorian London's terror. For 10 weeks in the autumn of 1888, terror gripped the gaslit streets of Whitechapel. A faceless predator lurked in the shadows, striking with surgical precision and vanishing into the night. 5 women, Mary Ann Polly Nichols, Annie Chapman, Elizabeth Stride, Catherine Eddowes, and Mary Jane Kelly, fell victim to his savagery, their lives extinguished with brutal precision. Their bodies, mutilated and displayed, became grotesque messages in a city gripped by fear. Newspapers fueled the flames of hysteria, and a palpable sense of dread hung heavy in the air. The killer, they called Jack the Ripper, had transformed London into his hunting ground. And then he vanished. But did he truly slip away, disappearing into the fog and shadows? Or did he walk among them, undetected, shielded by privilege, cunning, or the cruel hand of fate? Over a century later, the mystery endures, and new theories dare to pierce the veil of time. Modern science now offers a tantalizing glimpse into the past, a chance to unmask the face behind the legend. Could new DNA evidence, extracted from the very fabric of history, finally reveal the identity of history's most infamous murderer? Tonight, we delve into the labyrinth of suspects and theories, exploring the shocking revelations that may bring us closer than ever to the truth. The police investigation into the Ripper murders was a desperate struggle against the limitations of Victorian-era forensics. In a time before DNA testing and fingerprinting as we know it today, investigators were forced to rely on flawed eyewitness accounts and circumstantial evidence. The Whitechapel police, though not lacking in effort, were overwhelmed by the sheer scale and brutality of the crimes. They simply lacked the resources and manpower to mount a citywide manhunt, a task that proved as elusive as the killer himself. Over the course of the Ripper's reign of terror, detectives interviewed hundreds of suspects, chased countless leads, but the Ripper remained a phantom, a ghost haunting the labyrinth alleyways of Whitechapel. Many names emerged from the shadows, each with their own proponents, their own dark allure. But tonight we will focus on the most prominent suspects, the compelling theories, and the tantalizing whispers of modern DNA that offer a chilling glimpse into the Ripper's potential identity. Let us begin now the exploration of the suspects. The butcher or barber theory. The Ripper's actions spoke a language of anatomical knowledge, a familiarity with cutting flesh that hinted at a chilling profession. The precision of the wounds, the swiftness of the attacks, some lasting no more than 5 to 10 minutes, suggested someone very comfortable with the blade, someone who worked with it regularly, perhaps. This theory cast a long shadow over those whose trades involved sharp instruments and knowledge of the human form. Potential suspects. Aaron Kosminski, a Polish barber and asylum inmate, has long been one of the primary suspects in this case. We'll talk about him more later. John Pizer, aka Leather Apron. Before the name Jack the Ripper struck fear into the hearts of Londoners, whispers circulated about a mysterious figure known as Leather Apron, a man said to terrorize and extort prostitutes in Whitechapel. Several sex workers claimed to have been threatened by a man wearing a leather apron. And the press, in a pursuit of sensationalism, seized upon this image, fueling anti-Semitic tensions. Peiser, a local Jewish bootmaker who wore a leather apron for his work, became a convenient scapegoat, a target for the city's fear and prejudice. Peiser was arrested at his home on September 10, 1888, by Detective Sergeant William Thick. The discovery of bloodstained aprons at his residence only deepened the suspicion, but Peiser maintained his innocence and his alibi proved his claims. He had been staying with family members at the time of Marianne Nichols' murder on August 31, 1888. Witnesses confirmed that he was not in the area when the crimes occurred. Peiser was ultimately cleared of the crimes, a victim of circumstance and prejudice. He even sued a newspaper for libel after they wrongly branded him as the killer. The leather apron scare faded, but the true killer, the one who would become known as Jack the Ripper, remained shrouded in mystery. Our next theory is the medical professional theory. Because of the Ripper's precise incisions, the removal of the organs, and calculated brutality of the mutilations, often performed in near-complete darkness, this pointed towards a chilling possibility that the killer had medical knowledge and a deep understanding of human anatomy. This theory led investigators to consider those with medical training, including doctors, medical students, and even surgeons. Potential suspects under the medical professional theory include Sir William Gull, who was actually the Queen's physician. His name is often whispered in conspiracy theories suggesting a royal cover-up to protect the monarchy. Montague John Druitt, a lawyer and teacher with suspected medical training, his death by drowning in the Thames in December of 1888, shortly after the Ripper's final killing, fueled speculation that he was in fact the killer and was driven to suicide by his guilt. Thomas Neil Cream, a convicted serial killer and doctor, though he was in prison during the Ripper murders, didn't hold much weight. Our third theory is the royal conspiracy theory. Some believe that the Ripper's crimes were rooted in a dark conspiracy, a web of secrets and lies reaching into the highest echelons of society. The most prominent theory centers on Prince Albert Victor, Duke of Clarence, who was Queen Victoria's grandson. Prince Albert Victor, a controversial figure in his own right, was known for his wild behavior and alleged association with prostitutes. Rumors swirled about his involvement in various scandals, including one with a prostitute. Some theories suggest that the Ripper murders began after the prostitute became pregnant with the prince's illegitimate child, and she and others who knew about the affair were killed to silence them. Some theorists claim Prince Albert Victor suffered from syphilis, which might have affected his mental health and drove him to commit the murders. Some even suggested that the royal family orchestrated a cover-up to protect the monarchy's reputation. It's crucial to remember here that there is no concrete evidence to link Prince Albert Victor to the Ripper murders. These theories emerge long after the events, often based on speculation and innuendo. Such accusations should be viewed within the context of time when anti-royal sentiment was prevalent. Other suspects have been proposed, and most do not consider the royal connection a credible theory. Sir William Gull, again, his name resurfaces, implicated in allegedly carrying out the murders on behalf of the royal family. J.K. Stephen, a tutor to Prince Albert Victor, some theorized he also had a role in silencing the women who posed a threat to monarchy. Our fourth theory is that of the serial killer, the lone madman. It's the most straightforward and perhaps the most chilling theory that posits Jack the Ripper was alone. He was deranged and driven by inner demons and a thirst for violence. This theory suggests a man consumed by paranoia, schizophrenia, or psychopathy. Potential suspects under the lone madman theory include Aaron Kosminski. Again, his name reappears. His documented mental instability raised suspicions. Kosminski suffered from paranoid schizophrenia, experiencing auditory hallucinations, and had violent outbursts. He was actually committed to Colney Hatch Lunatic Asylum in 1891 for threatening his sister with a knife, and this was shortly after the Ripper murders stopped. Records describe his fear of eating food prepared by others, likely due to delusions of being poisoned. Another suspect includes Montague John Druitt. His mental instability and suspicious death after the final Ripper killing made him a good candidate for this theory. James Kelly, an escaped lunatic asylum patient with violent tendencies, is also believed to have traveled between London and the U.S. around this time. Our fifth theory is the artist theory. The Ripper's actions, some believe, had an artistic, anatomical interest, a fascination with the human form. This theory suggests that the killer might have been a painter or even a sculptor, drawn to the beauty and the horror of the human body. The posed nature of the victims, the precise mutilations, all could be seen as the work of a twisted artist. Potential suspect includes Walter Sickert, who was a famous British artist obsessed with the Ripper murders. He even painted scenes depicting the crimes. Some letters attributed to the Ripper contained artistic sketches, adding fuel to this theory. A very interesting theory is our sixth theory, the woman, also known as the Jill the Ripper theory. A radical departure from the traditional narrative, this theory posits that the killer was a woman, perhaps a midwife, or a vengeful female seeking retribution. This would explain how the murderer went unnoticed, as a woman would have been less suspicious, moving around Whitechapel covered in blood, and would have been more readily trusted by prostitutes. A potential suspect in this theory was named Mary Percy, or Mary Piercy, a woman who had murdered her lover's wife in a strikingly similar fashion to the Ripper killings. This theory, although intriguing, lacks substantial evidence. There are no witnesses that have testified any concrete proof to support the Jill the Ripper theory. Our seventh theory, the Freemason conspiracy theory. Another speculative theory delves into the realm of secret societies, suggesting that the murders were ritualistic killings carried out by the Freemasons. But the motive? Possibly to silence women who possessed dangerous secrets, knew things about some of their wealthy customers. Some point to the symbolic cuts and missing organs as a sign of a Masonic execution. Potential suspects in this theory include, again, Sir William Gull. His name resurfaces frequently linked to Masonic conspiracy theories. Lord Salisbury. Some believe high-ranking officials within the Prime Minister's inner circle had a hand in covering up the murders. And finally, a fan favorite theory is that of H.H. Holmes. This theory is driven by fan fascination, if you will. It connects the Ripper to an American serial killer known as H.H. Holmes. H.H. Holmes was born Herman Webster Mudgett. While law enforcement has never really seriously considered him a suspect in the Jack the Ripper murders, a rather intriguing theory fueled by speculation and circumstantial evidence suggests a possible connection. This theory was popularized by Jeff Mudgett, Holmes' great-great-grandson, who has written a book and been featured in TV series exploring this possibility. Proponents of this theory point to some circumstantial evidence, a similar modus operandi. Both Holmes and the Ripper killed and mutilated their victims, and some believe there are similarities in their methods. The timeline: Holmes was in London around the time of the Ripper murders. his handwriting. Some claim that Holmes' handwriting resembles that of the Ripper letters and possible eyewitness accounts. Some eyewitness descriptions of the Ripper mention an American suspect who could fit Holmes' description. However, again, it's crucial to note the following. There is a lack of concrete evidence for this theory. There is nothing to definitively link Holmes to the Ripper murders. The evidence presented is largely circumstantial and open to interpretation. There's also conflicting evidence. Some evidence contradicts the theory. For example, records suggest that Holmes was in the U.S. during some of the Ripper murders. And, of course, skepticism. Most Ripperologists and historians do not take this theory seriously. It's considered a fringe theory with little basis in fact. While the idea of H.H. Holmes being Jack the Ripper is intriguing, it remains a highly speculative theory. There is no reliable evidence to support it, and it's largely based on circumstantial evidence and conjecture. It's important to remember that the Ripper murders remain unsolved, and many theories have been put forward over the years, some more plausible than others. The H.H. Holmes connection falls into the latter category. Now let us turn our attention to the modern era, where whispers of DNA evidence have reignited the Ripper case, offering a tantalizing glimpse into this 130-year-old mystery. In 2014, a shawl believed to have belonged to one of the Ripper's victims, Catherine Eddowes, surfaced. Forensic analysis claimed to have found mitochondrial DNA on the shawl, matching that of one of the primary suspects. Mitochondrial DNA passed down through the maternal line is more stable over time than the nuclear DNA, offering us a potential window into the past. Who was the potential suspect? None other than Aaron Kosminski, the Polish barber. Karen Miller, age 53, a three-times great-granddaughter of Catherine Eddowes, also provided her DNA so it could be matched to her ancestors' blood on the shawl. In 2019, the same claims about the link between Aaron Kosminski's DNA and Catherine Eddowes' shawl were repeated. Could this DNA evidence be the breakthrough that finally unmasks the face of Jack the Ripper? Before we draw any conclusions, we need to dive deeper into the life of Aaron Kosminski and examine how he fits into this narrative. Aaron Kosminski, a Polish immigrant barber, has long been a prime suspect in this case. His name continues to echo throughout the years. Kosminski was born in Poland and immigrated to London in the 1880s. He worked as a barber in Whitechapel, the very heart of the Ripper's hunting ground. Kosminski was one of several suspects considered by the police at the time. In 1891, Police Inspector Donald Swanson wrote in his notes that a witness had positively identified Kosminski as the Ripper, but refused to testify, preventing legal action. The witness was likely Joseph LeWind, who saw a man with Catherine Eddowes shortly before her murder. However, the limitations of technology and forensic testing at the time prevented any charges from being filed. Kosminski's proximity to the crimes, his connection to the Freemasons, and his documented mental instability all fueled suspicion. Kosminski was known to have suffered from paranoid schizophrenia, experiencing auditory hallucinations and violent outbursts. He was committed to Colney Hatch Lunatic Asylum in 1891 for threatening his sister with a knife shortly after the Ripper murders ceased. The claims surrounding the DNA evidence found on Catherine Eddowes' shawl in 2014 and 2019 are primarily tied to Russell Edwards, an amateur sleuth and author who purchased the shawl privately in 2007. He collaborated with a molecular biologist to conduct the DNA analysis. Here's the summary of their claims. In 2014, Edwards published a book and announced that the DNA found on the shawl matched that of Aaron Kosminski. In 2019, Edwards and Dr. Lou Halainen the molecular biologist conducted further DNA testing, claiming to have confirmed the 2014 findings. They also claimed that the DNA evidence suggested the killer was a man with brown hair and brown eyes, matching an eyewitness account from the time. However, the claims regarding the DNA evidence are not without controversy. The chain of custody of the shawl has been questioned, raising concerns about potential contamination. Furthermore, the DNA sample itself was small and degraded, making definitive conclusions challenging. Some experts have criticized the methodology used in the DNA analysis, while others have defended it. So the debate continues. Recently, in February of 2025, both Vice and the UK's Daily Mail published articles claiming that the true identity of Jack the Ripper has 100% been confirmed as Polish barber Aaron Kosminski. Descendants of victim Catherine Eddowes and descendants of Aaron are now backing legal efforts to delve deeper into the new DNA evidence linked to Kosminski, seeking to finally attach a name to the killer. An official inquest, which has to be raised and accepted by the Attorney General, is required to potentially put an end to this century-old mystery. If permission is granted, this new inquest will be opened based on the new DNA evidence. So where does that leave us? Does the DNA evidence definitively identify Kosminski as Jack the Ripper? The scientific community remains divided. While the DNA evidence offers a tantalizing clue, it is not universally accepted as conclusive proof. The Ripper's identity, despite the passage of time and the advancements in forensic science, remains a subject of intense debate. The very nature of the crimes, the lack of physical evidence at the time, and the passage of over a century have created a mystery that may never fully be solved. The mystery of Jack the Ripper continues to fascinate and horrify us, even after 130 years. Those drawn to true crime, like myself, are driven by a desire to know who committed these heinous acts. We seek a form of justice for the victims, a resolution to the haunting questions that linger. Aaron Kosminski might be the answer to that age-old question, but a shadow of doubt still lingers. The true face of this killer might remain forever hidden in the dark alleyways of Whitechapel's history, unless the official inquest is accepted by the Attorney General and the Ripper case is officially reopened based on this new evidence. Only time will tell. So keep your eyes open wide and listen for updates, as I believe there will still be more to come in the future, and we might yet see this mystery solved. For now, thank you for listening to this special presentation and limited series of Macabre Dark History Podcast. Stay tuned for more macabre features in the future, where together we will uncover the darkest parts of history.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day Sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.